We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. You know what that means. It's time for Ask Greg. Greg Pickle over here is going to answer your Penn State football and recruiting questions. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue pairings, sauces and rubs as well. You can check all of it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Your questions are coming in. There's a pretty heavy recruiting feel to it, given all the things that are going on. Greg's going to pick out who asked the best question, and whoever did is going to get a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. So really a strong deal to get your questions in and have Greg answer them. And Greg, all-knowing Greg, as one person that we'll touch on soon, refer to you. Are you ready, my friend?
Let's do it.
So we touched on this very briefly earlier in the show. We talked about all kinds of different stuff coming out of a weekend where there's four commitments and one decommitment, some other visits. Bill from Philadelphia asked, first and foremost, RJ Adams and Dante Thornton both visited other universities over the weekend. Is there a chance that Franklin has lifted or softened his stance on visiting other schools, or is the player leveraging the tumultuous state of Penn State knowing that Franklin's hands are tied?
Well, it's a great question. I don't think that he's changed his policy. I just think that Penn State has to be realistic about the fact that if you want kids, if you wanted this kid bad enough and he was visiting, It can get weird because as this kid, I guess what I'm trying to say is it might depend how good you are and how irreplaceable you are in the class, whether or not you get replaced, or you know whether you are someone they say, hey, if you take visits, we're going to move on from you or not. So in the case of these two, I think it also is, they probably talked to Penn State about this, that they were maybe going with teammates, maybe going as a group. You know, Julian Fleming came to Penn State's camp, and it's not because he was going to flip to Penn State. It was because he was with his team. And I think a lot of this time of year is about teams getting on the road to go to a camp. Maybe the coordinator will drive 10 kids to camp. If you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, even though you're committed to Penn State, you might go visit somewhere else with your friend because it sounds like a good time. So I don't know if they've softened their policy, but I think there is a little bit of a need to have some realistic outlook, I guess, or realistic thoughts when you consider the fact that, you know, some kids are going to commit and want to go elsewhere.
It's a good question, and I think there are definitely shades of gray, and there's definitely a thought to just how realistic can this possibly be over the years, especially when you're talking about a 2021 kid to stay committed and not explore any other schools when it's, you know, the biggest decision of their young life. I just don't think Penn State can actually enforce what they want to enforce, that it's an idealistic goal. But I would agree that it's not been softened. It's just changed. Rob from New Jersey, add this one to the pile. He says, what's going on behind the scenes? Have you heard of anything going on? A lot of missed recruits, decommits, awful lot of JUCO offers now. Something seems way, way off from this side of the information ticket. I've never heard of the information ticket, but Rob brings that up. Is there something off about what's going on?
Off? No. Is there maybe a disappointment that, you know, some of the kids that Penn State thought it was going to get did not get, so now they have to expand their horizons? Yeah, I think so. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, and I don't think I can talk long enough to look it up, but James Franklin's talked before about, you know, we're only going to dip into the JUCO ranks when the time is right to do it. Is the time right to do it now, or is the need to do it now there because Penn State didn't get some of the guys it wanted to get? I think that's a question you have to ask yourself. So, I mean, this is not the class it was meant to be. This is not the class we thought it would be. There's no argument and no question about that. The question is, though, is this group going to be able to be even close to what could have been? And how many of these quote unquote diamonds in the rough will develop into actual diamonds, and how many of them will be left in the rough? I think that's really, you know, what's going to be the thing that helps us evaluate this class 2 or 3 years down the road. So is something off or something wrong? I don't think so. I just think kids are going elsewhere and Penn State's struggling to deal with, you know, the ramifications of that.
And it is exaggerated because there were high expectations for the program at this point and for the way that the James Franklin was recruiting. 2020 was supposed to be the year. And so that combined with the number of JUCO offers, you know, there's something to that, whether that's just Lackawanna's got an unusually good and ready roster in 2019.
Possible.
Maybe that's it.
But why did nobody else offer him? That's the question.
It's true, but only time is going to reveal whether Penn State was right about their evaluations or not. They don't really care what the recruiting services are saying, but they're going to see with their own eyes and they're going to make their own evaluations. But it is a little bit troubling at the scale to which they've been doing this lately. Whether that means something's off or whether it means something else, Penn State, it seems it's playing that smartest guy in the room routine with more prospects than you'd like to see, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple to see why, though, because some of the kids they had on their board that everybody else liked ended up going elsewhere. So, yeah, we'll see how it all works out.
Next question, Mike from York. Do you think James Franklin's attempt to take Penn State's recruiting national has hurt its recruiting here in Pennsylvania? I'm seeing a lot of PA kids getting recruited by the likes of Michigan and Notre Dame without much push from Penn State or even an offer from Penn State in some cases.
Yeah.
Good question.
Well, so, I mean, you look at Penn State's positioning in the national offer board rankings, if you will. I'm not sure that's exactly how I wanted to phrase that. But you look at the 247 Sports offer database, and they're among they're the top schools in terms of offers that's sent out. But sometimes you just know a kid's not going to commit to you, and you don't even bother. And that may sound weird, but there are some kids that just want to go to, you know, the coaches aren't dumb. They can talk to a lot of people. They can figure out pretty quickly whether they have a chance or not. And if someone tells them this kid's either going to Michigan or Notre Dame, they're not going to waste the valuable time and the precious resources that they have trying to woo that kid to Penn State, because it's probably not going to happen. So sometimes you will see kids commit elsewhere and not really have a Penn State interest or offer, even though they seem like they should because of geography. So there's just times when the coaching staff just sort of shrugs and says, okay, we're not going to get this kid. We're going to move on to somebody we can get.
And, you know, you saw that with Notre Dame, you know, the Catholic schools, just the pull from Western PA to South Bend is pretty strong. And then, yeah, it's interesting, the guys who get the token offer, who Penn State you know, man, and you could make the argument, I suppose, that no player in the state of Pennsylvania should have that much of a passive interest in Penn State. You can make that argument, but if that's the prospect's position and that position can't or won't be changed, then Penn State is going to commit resources someplace else.
Right.
There are some times where it's a little bit of a head scratcher that Penn State wasn't more interested in a kid or making more of a push for a kid, or, you know, the quarterback, Kyle McCord, in the 2021 class. You know, there are definitely some prospects that, you're not sure why Penn State seemingly allowed it to happen so easily, but there are always shades of gray in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they allowed it to happen easily. I just think that the kid knew where he wanted to go and was impressed with Ryan Day and the coaching staff out there, and I just don't think there's always a lot. Sometimes there's just not a lot you can do to sway these kids.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football questions answered by Greg Pickle here, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida asks, all-knowing Greg, that's you.
Not always.
Some knowing Greg, is how I would put it. You've been covering Penn State football for a while. Joe Paterno ran the program pretty much the same for more than four decades, but there have been a number of changes over the last 8 years. What would you say have been the biggest improvements, and what do you think was better the way it used to be?
Wow. I mean, the thing that comes immediately to mind is the change in recruiting philosophy from more of a regional approach to more of a national approach, and Penn State's really gone a long way in upgrading its facilities and things like that to try and get more with the times. And I mean, think back to Bill O'Brien talking about there being a, you know, when he got to Penn State, there were still VCRs around. I mean, that sort of told you I need to know about where they were on the technology spectrum. But they've upgraded a lot of things and have really done a nice job with that. As for, I think James Franklin does a lot of things that the way Penn State's done them for quite some time. So I don't know what, nothing immediately comes to mind as being better then than it was now. But I think that's because they do a lot of the same things. I don't know if you agree with that, but there's a lot of similarities between the way the approach used to be and the way it is now.
Well, you can say a lot of things about James Franklin, but he has demonstrated as more than just lip service that he wants his kids to actually be students.
Right.
I think he's been clear about that, and that is a continuation from Joe. One thing I would say, it kind of circles back to the previous question, is that, you know, kids from the state of Pennsylvania, I'm not sure if there's the same kind of mystique as there was under under Joe. And but what you say about recruiting and facilities and, you know, it's you know, not even how you view your recruiting footprint, but the energy and the with which that you actually recruit and the way that you send guys out. I mean, Joe's staff towards the end there, they weren't putting nearly enough hustle into it. And you can't really blame them. What was the average age of the staff? 70?
Yeah.
So towards the end of Joe's reign, even before we got into all the scandal and all that kind of stuff, but even towards the end there, they just weren't really completely present with the way college football was changing. So James Franklin has certainly brought them into the future as far as that goes. But good question, though. I'll take one more before we get into the winner. Rob from New Jersey, do you think Penn State mishandles injuries in general? If so, do you think that influences a recruit? Just looking at the players who seem to struggle to get back on the field, he says he knows it's usually case by case.
But it is.
Mishandling, the idea of mishandling injuries, or at least not, you know, I think they were burned by not giving a lot of information about injuries when it came to Justin Shorter.
Yeah, I mean, well, so I don't think they're necessarily burned by the medical staff, though. I can't help but wonder why they changed, you know, team doctors. That sticks out like a sore thumb, but we don't know why. But the fact that, you know, it's a slippery slope James Franklin walks on with this, because he doesn't want to give a lot of info, and then he gets mad when the hypotheticals are thrown out there about a kid. And I understand where he's coming from, but if you just tell everyone what's going on, then you avoid a lot of that. And obviously it hurt him with Julian Fleming as well.
So yeah, the lack of clarity can sometimes not be very helpful. All right, who had the best question?
That was a tough week, man. We had a lot of good ones this week. Let's go with the one about going back to what's different between the Paterno and now.
All right, so that's David, Beach Wine Guy. That's our friend Beach Wine Guy. We will be reaching out to you soon with a bottle of tailgate wine. Thanks everybody else for submitting your questions, for tuning in this week. You know we'll be back next week, and we're always present on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.